Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Remember, we're starting to collect your comments for our Board at Work Network challenge. We are inviting you to post the smartest thing and the dumbest thing that your company is doing to cope with inflation, and forward around that link to other colleagues at other workplaces. And we will talk about it in a little while, but then we'll accumulate a lot of ways that companies are coping with inflation smartly or stupidly, and talk about it in a little more depth later in the week. But go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see our Board at Work Network question: what's the smartest thing your company is doing to cope with inflation, and what's the dumbest? And we'll talk about this coming up later this hour. But right now, a piece of legislation is on Governor Patterson's desk that would change the way New York treats child prostitutes. The Safe Harbor Act, as it's known, would provide first-time offenders with services as opposed to locking them up in the juvenile detention system. But does criminalizing child prostitution or decriminalizing it really help the kids that get drawn into the trade? For more now, we've got Carol Smolensky. She's the executive director of ECPAT USA. ECPAT stands for End Child Prostitution, Child Pornography, and Trafficking of Children for Sexual Purposes. Carol, welcome to WNYC. Thanks
Hello.
For coming on with us. How
My
big
pleasure.
Of a problem is child prostitution in America and in New York?
Well, there are some estimates of in the United States of there being 200,000 to 300,000 children sexually exploited. New York State actually did a study last year that showed around 3,000 children currently, as the terminology in the report was, reporting being sexually exploited.
Now, when you say sexually exploited, mm-hmm. what do you mean exactly? Some of them may think that they're being prostitutes voluntarily to make money, yeah. or is that not ever the case?
Yeah. Well, we use the term, instead of child prostitute, we use the term sexual exploitation of children mm-hmm. to imply that, in fact, it's not the kid's fault. It's not something that they're choosing to doing and that they want to do, but rather something that's happening to them.
And what age are we talking about? Is this mostly 15, 16, 17-year-olds?
Yeah, we're talking about, I mean, the international standard for what's a child is under 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Children enter prostitution in this country very early age. 11, 12, 13 is not at all uncommon, and sometimes even younger. But we're talking about anybody under 18 as a sexually exploited child.
Mm-hmm. And how do most of them, if you can generalize, wind up in that situation?
Yeah, the reason that we support decriminalizing sexual exploitation of children is because these kids are usually at the end of a range of abuses that have happened to them since the earliest age. Basically, these are kids who had often been sexually abused, but also otherwise physically abused and neglected, and end up in the arms of a pimp because it seems to them like it's the best deal that they can get. And then our system tends to then punish them and criminalize them and tell them that they're bad, even though our research shows and a lot of other organizations' research shows that these are kids who've been abused, not bad kids. So we're calling for them to be protected and assisted, not punished and thrown into jail, but actually offered something to help them get out of this life.
The law that's on the table only applies to first-time offenders.
Yeah.
Is that far enough? Are child prostitutes prone to repeat their offenses?
Yes, and I mean, I think it's a good step. I think that the Safe Harbor Act probably doesn't solve all of our problems for in trying to see these children as victims rather than offenders, but it's, you know, it's a good step forward. There's only one other state in the country that does tend to have on the books legislation to protect children, and that's Michigan. Because basically, I mean, there's a strange thing that goes on in the law that many of these kids are not even old enough to consent to sex on one set of books.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, they're arrested for prostitution.
That's a really good point.
I know. I mean, it's bizarre. And so it's the exchange of money that suddenly changed the sexually abused and exploited kid. Oh, now she's the bad one, rather than the John or the pimp who actually put her in this situation in the first
place. And what happens to those girls typically now if they are arrested in New York?
Well, they'll go to family court, and depending on their situation and their age, they will either be sent to a group home or potentially even just to jail, to Rikers.
Do they ever really go to jail for this, for this?
Yes. As I said, they go to 16- and 17-year-olds can be prosecuted and go to Rikers.
What's the typical term?
Oh, you know what? I don't know.
And so what would happen if this bill is signed by the governor?
It would actually refer these kids for services and protection rather than for being punished, which is a huge thing and something that we really need to do. Instead of sending these kids who are being groomed by pimps and told by pimps, as one of them put in one of the reports that we wrote about these kids, pimps find them and say, "This girl been raped so many times. Well, it's my job to teach her. She might as well get paid for it." And that's kind of the syndrome of what happens to kids. And then, unfortunately, our criminal justice system is still seeing them as kids who need to be punished. So they need to get help, and they need to get specialized help. There's actually one organization in New York City that specializes specifically in helping sexually exploited girls. It's called GEMS, Girls Educational and Mentoring Services. And they have the skills that are necessary to actually address these kids, because they do say, "I love my pimp." They do say, "This is my best friend. He's treated me better than anybody's ever treated me," which is a pretty sad state of affairs for girls who are being exploited and prostituted by these guys. And so what they need is help, and very specific kind of help that knows how to break that syndrome of dependence on their pimp as their best friend.
Now,
and it's such a sad commentary on our world that we see them as bad kids rather than, I mean, these are some kids who've had some of the worst treatment you can imagine, you know, for a girl growing up in the United States.
To wind up in a situation like that in the first place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw the arguments against signing this bill at you in a minute, but I do want to open up the phones for our listeners as well as our comments page, of course, always open at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Our phone number is 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729, if it's easy to remember, 646-SPUD-RAY, our temporary phone number, 646-778-3729. Should underage prostitution be decriminalized in New York? If you have a personal story, if you were in this situation or someone you know was, feel free to be anonymous. If that helps you get important information or opinion out, 646-778-3729. Do you feel that getting children and teens into the juvenile criminal justice system might be better for them? Are you a former child prostitute and would like to tell your story? Again, be anonymous or pseudonymous if you want. Change your name at 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729 for Carol Smolensky from ECPAT USA, ECPAT for End Child Prostitution, Child Pornography, and Trafficking of Children for Sexual Purposes. Now, Governor Patterson has not decided whether to sign this decriminalization bill, last I heard, and Mayor Bloomberg is apparently among those urging him not to sign it. And so, for example, the mayor's criminal justice coordinator, John Feinblatt, was recently quoted saying, "Legal coverage is the best way to provide services for victims of child trafficking." And that if you threaten offenders with jail time, then they're going to give up the pimps who are the ones you really want to go after. Without that threat, these pimps are going to stay free and more girls are going to be victimized. What do you say to the mayor's arguments?
Well, I think that's ridiculous. We don't threaten kids with jail time if they've been sexually abused by their family members. We don't arrest them for having been abused by their family members. We offer them assistance and help until they are ready to to actually speak out. It's the same thing. It's kind of the system that we have in place for human trafficking victims. Children trafficked from other countries are not required to cooperate with law enforcement in the prosecution of their trafficker in order to get assistance. We do that for international victims of trafficking. Why can't we do it for American kids as well? They don't have to report to law enforcement. They're entitled to assistance just for what happened to them. And so I can't go by that. Besides, then, with what we're doing by criminalizing them is now, you know, here's a kid who grew up where she was not loved and protected like we're supposed to do with our children. In fact, she was abused and neglected, ends up in the hands of a pimp, and then our response is to lock her up, give her a criminal record, put her in a jumpsuit and shackles. That doesn't make any sense.
How else can they get to the pimps who are going to victimize more girls?
Well, there's lots of ways that law enforcement has of investigating and prosecuting pimps. I mean, it's been done over and over again. Queens DA's office did a big project several years ago already focused on pimps in the Queens Plaza area, where they didn't rely on the testimony of the sexually exploited women and children. And there have been other instances, and there's lots of crimes that are prosecuted without having to have the testimony of the victim. And especially in cases of children, we're not seeing them as children. I mean, it's such an interesting thing that happens in the mind. Oh, she's a prostitute, she must not be a child anymore. Oh, she's a prostitute, she must not be entitled to protection anymore. She's a bad kid. And so, unfortunately, that's what I feel takes place, that you can treat them any old way because, hey, they've been sexually exploited. She's a, quote, prostitute.
But let's take an anonymous call from Brooklyn right now. Thanks so much for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. I wanted to tell you the story of one of my students. I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for 10 years, and she was actually in my first class 10 years ago when she was 13 years old. She was actually being pimped out by her mother. Her mother was an invalid and was a drug addict and needed her daughter to support her drug habit by selling her body to older men in the neighborhood. And finding out about this and having to deal with this meant that she had to be able to trust me and trust that she wasn't going to be prosecuted, trust that we were going to protect her. And I ended up having to take her to an intake center down, it used to be down on Canal Street, not Canal, but off of Canal Street, for kids who were being taken out of their home by the police. And the kid that came in after her stabbed his neighbor. And so my kid was being brought in, who had been victimized all this time, next to kids who were violent criminals. And I stayed with her that night. I stayed with her all night long. I wouldn't leave her alone in that place. And I just look at the situation, and I'm so grateful that we ended up being able to contact her father, who hadn't known where she was. We didn't realize that he had been basically excommunicated from the family, and got her into a safe place far away from her mother. But her mother was never prosecuted, and my kid felt like she was wrong for ratting out her mother, you know, who had been just abusing her all this time, and she just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
What a heartbreaking story. Carol?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not unusual for family members to pimp out kids, and as that caller is saying, they need help and protection, not to be prosecuted and sent to jail and shackles and jumpsuit, as I said.
Thank
you. I don't know what would have happened to her if her father hadn't come into the situation.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, I will be eternally grateful to all of the spirits who were able to make that happen.
Yeah.
But if we hadn't found her father when we did, where would she be now? Would she have had to go back to her mother? Would she have gotten into the system? I don't know. And I've had the chance to, they moved her to Puerto Rico with the father's family, and I've had the chance to go to Puerto Rico to visit with her, her and to see the difference of the photographs that I have from her when she was in my class, where she had black circles under her eyes from basically working all night and to come to my class and sleep, and then to see her with these photographs that I took of her when I visited her 5 years later, where she finally looked like a kid for the first time. She was 18 years old, and she looked like a kid laughing and playing for the first time. It was unbelievable, the difference.
And you are one committed teacher to have developed such a relationship that you went and visited her in Puerto Rico 5 years later.
They're my kids, you know.
That's such a great story. I'm so happy to hear that she had somebody like you to help her out. I mean, it really does speak to the need for protection and assistance for these kids. We need services for them. I mean, these are some of the worst cases of child abuse in the country. And yet, it's the area that people don't really like to talk about. They feel a little queasy. It's uncomfortable. But it's really the area that we should prioritizing protection for these kids.
Thank you very much for calling. Good luck in the classroom. And Judy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I supervise the counseling staff at the Heptrick Martin School, Heptrick Martin Institute, for many years. And
oh, I know what you're going to say, and you're going to be right, too. Go ahead.
This happens to boys and girls.
And
lesbian, gay, and bisexual and transgender kids often are kicked out of their homes onto the streets at a very young age, and the only way they have to survive is to do this.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot, again, it's about, not about the kids, it's about, you know, the adults that kick them out or use them or in some way, you know, aren't there for them.
And Carol Smolensky, we've been talking mostly about girls. We keep using the word girls, 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 but it's really
boys
too.
And girls, and I regret my language over girls, and it's true. And boys are much more stigmatized in many ways, of course, when they are sexually exploited. So it's a tragedy for both the boys and girls who end up in this situation. And yes, and often it's gay and lesbian kids who are thrown out of their house and need a means of survival. And hey, there's some exploiter out there willing to take up that means of exploitation. You know, they'll offer them support, but all they have to do is, you know, give sex in return. A terrible situation.
I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, Judy, thank you for your call. And, well, we're almost out of time. We're actually going to go to San Francisco in a minute, where they're thinking of decriminalizing prostitution in general. Did you hear about that, Carol?
Yeah, I know that there's a move in some cities to do such a thing.
So we'll see if our listeners think that that's a good idea, or whether San Francisco is way out front of the rest of the nation on this, or if this is something that's being talked about a lot. Just tell me, Governor Patterson has this on his desk now, the Safe Harbor Act, which would decriminalize prostitution for first-time offenders who are under 18.
Right.
It would be estimated to cost taxpayers around $25 million a year to add the extra services that go under this. I would think that these are services that these young people should be getting in any case, whether they go through the court or whether they just go through some kind of protective services system. What do you see as the main pressure group on the governor not to sign the bill?
I think prosecutors, actually. They like being able to threaten children with jail time in order to get them to testify against the pimp. So I think that that's probably the only organized group that would be opposed to protecting children from sexual exploitation, if you can believe that. And I'm sure that there are always budgetary problems. But as I said, I see these as some of the worst cases of child abuse in the country. And to not be able to spare millions of dollars to protect them is just tragic.
All right. Again, my guest has been Carol Smolensky, Executive Director of ECPAT USA, ECPAT for End Child Prostitution, Child Pornography, and Trafficking of Children for Sexual Purposes. We'll see what Governor Patterson does with this bill. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will go live to San Francisco next and hear about the proposal there to decriminalize prostitution in general. Stay with us.